Anybody in the audience hear me? Got it? Okay, good. Great. Thanks for coming. Apologies for the room switch. I just wanted a more intimate crowd is what it came down to. Bring you guys closer. I'm Chris Pendleton. I'm a PM lead, or program manager lead, on the Bing Maps geospatial platform team. And today we're going to talk about Bing Maps for Windows Store apps. I've got what I would consider a very exciting agenda. And hopefully, after you leave this room, you'll feel excited about it as well. If you want to tweet anything about this session, I'm at Chris Pendleton. If somebody wants to create a hashtag, maybe I don't know, build geo or something like that. That'd be nice to allow us to filter through the tweets. For the session today, I think they marked me as a 300, level 300, so that's kind of exciting. I get to go pretty deep in the code, so we've got a pretty advanced group of developers in the room. By the way, if you were thinking that this was a different session, you're now next door. This is only Bing Maps, just to be very clear. So what I'll do through this session, I'll demonstrate Bing Maps on Windows 8. We'll go through the JavaScript aspects for web-based applications on Windows 8. And then I'll dive into some of the managed code and native code applications, the controls that we have for building applications using our new native control or managed control. And I'll talk about application protocol handling. We got our own application protocol on Windows 8, so that means you can switch apps and use the Bing Maps app for just really quick, easy linking. And then I'm going to tackle licensing. That's always a fun question. I am not a lawyer. I am not going to give legal advice or legal interpretation of our terms of use, but I will give you the very basics of what it means to build apps on Windows 8 and what you actually get as a part of the offering. And then we'll take some Q&A at the end. I do have a jam-packed session, so I will move pretty fast. I've got my contact information at the end in case you want to get a hold of me. I can answer questions. Also, after this session, we are going to be out in the lobby networking. I brought some of the devs on my team. So the engineers that built some of the demos that you're going to see today, these are the guys that build the controls that you use in applications. They're actually here. So if you have very specific, deep-seated questions, they'll be in the networking experience just after this out in the lobby. So we'll be floating around in case you have questions for us. Okay, so let's jump into this. I'm going to go back and forth between two machines. So what is Bing Maps on Windows 8? It's one of the native applications that's installed. That was super exciting for us and very challenging. Just to give you a little bit of context of the amount of work that we had to do, Bing Maps wasn't distributed for every country that Windows supported, so we had a ton of work to do in terms of all of the map data that had to go into the platform, and then all the aspects that Windows cares about that we weren't really prepared for. And so for about a good part of 8 months, we focused on all the geopolitical aspects, all the localization aspects, language support, and then a ton of identification of Windows-specific apps, so hardening the platform and really clearing the way so that Windows 8, the Windows 8 experience for mapping was top-notch. So all that work and a ton more went into what we did. And the end result was our Bing Maps application. So if you have a Windows 8 machine, or if you've hopefully by now you've played for one, the rumor is that everybody got a free one. Is that true? I'm just kidding. I don't think we do that. You never know, though. So basic features that you would expect from a mapping application. We got our aerial road here. Let me clear the map. Start over. So it gives us some identification of where we are. They use the Windows location framework for identifying, based on IP and things like that. If you have a Surface, there's GPS, so we can, fall back to that as well to give an additional fidelity of location. Let's see, we do a search. So if I'm looking for where we are, I can do this, but we also have some custom searches in here, so you can do a search for like Microsoft Building 33, and we'll actually find that through our search results, and it pins it right to where it is. From here, you can just click directions. I actually came from the beautiful city of Bothell. So just by entering Bothell here, it'll reverse look up that place and create a route give me directions straight to here. Also, we did a lot of work with the local search team, so we can do something like coffee in Redmond, for example. You know, finding coffee in Seattle is a terrible task. Basically have to throw a stone. You can usually find a place. But for some of the best, the heuristics built into local search actually takes into consideration some of the top reviews, as well as location as a factor, part of the heuristic, but also click-throughs, the ones that people are actually thinking through, so some of the popular places that are relevant. Things like this, if you want to see details, additional information that comes up, and then a link to the website. We did add the ability to drag a pin, so you can just drag a pin and drop it, and it will reverse geocode this to give you an approximation of where you are. So you see here, I just dropped a pin, and it told me right about where that pin is. So that's using our reverse geocode APIs. So pretty straightforward. What you may expect, some of the basics you may expect from a mapping application. I expect those that over time this will get more and more exciting. Being distributed on Windows is a huge factor in where we make our investments over the next few years. So expect some exciting things coming from the Maps team. Let me switch back. So let's dive into some of the developer aspects of using Bing Maps in your applications. Okay, so if anyone's used Bing Maps for maps or locations in the past, you're probably familiar with our AJAX control. We have an AJAX control, supports HTML5. Most of the web-based applications that use Bing Maps use this today. What you will use for Windows 8 for these web-based applications is the same exact control. There's about one more line of code that you need, and all of a sudden you get the full library that we support on the web. So it is the same AJAX control. When you go to the SDK, you will see the exact same information. In fact, we didn't make two. We just made one page that tells you this is the same exact SDK. And here's the one line of code that you're going to need in order to use the AJAX control for Windows 8 applications. We took a modular approach. A couple years ago, we had this control that had all of our services stuck in it, and our famous bird's eye view with all the metadata. And it was about a meg. So every time you loaded the map control, it was about a meg of payload. We slimmed it way down, made it modular, took out all the services, took out all the unnecessary things like driving directions. Not everybody needs driving directions in their applications. So we removed all those services and shrunk it down to about 34K. So now it's extremely light, but it's modular in that we have these modules that you can now load after your map controls if you need them, right? So if you need routing or driving directions in your application, you can just load that module, and if you don't need it, you won't need it. So there's no additional overhead for building your applications. The map control has everything you expect. Like I said, it's the same AJAX control, so push pins, polylines, polygons, and all the map styles that we include today. So our road maps, our aerials, the bird's eye, everything is included, so you can have all of that as a part of your applications for Windows 8. The modules that are supported on the web are supported in Windows 8 as well. So if you want to do search, like a local search, you can load the local search module. We have a venue maps module that it's basically indoor maps of malls and things like that, airports. You can load that into your applications as a module. We have advanced shapes, which is complex shapes like holes and things like that for more of the high fidelity, intense rendering of things like lakes and things like that. So where you need to use holes. And then there's a few other modules that are fully documented on the SDK, like analytics in case you want to do some tracking and things like that. To integrate with the Bing Map web services, that's also part of the offering for Windows 8. So if you want to use geocoding, that's a super hot item right now. If you want, basically, geocoding, for those who don't know, it's converting addresses to latitude longitudes, so you can put them on the map. If you can put points on the map, we also do reverse geocoding, so you can do the same backwards. So if you have a point like a GPS, you can identify about where it is by getting a string address back, and that's basically what was built into the Windows 8 application that I showed you. Routing, driving directions. So all the routing algorithms, we have some really interesting algorithms. Where you can route around traffic, you can do walking directions, things like that, also transit directions. That's all included in the APIs, so you can build those into your applications as well. Search, we have in our SOAP service, we have a search interface that you can basically hit the local data search that you see on Bing Local today. And then spatial data services. Spatial data services is a very powerful system. It allows you to upload like 200,000 entities at one time, get them batch geocoded, and then we can actually store them for you. And we have spatial algorithms that allows you to query that data set for things like find me the nearest X. You know, if you're hosting coffee shops, I just love coffee, and I've had about 3 cups this morning, so that's why I'm so hyped up. And but if you upload your coffee shops into this repository, you can then do spatial queries against that. So we have like fully hosted solution for doing spatial queries for you as well. And that's all part of the Windows 8 offering. So let's walk through some code. You guys have probably seen some sneak peeks. I've got Visual Studio running here in the background, but we're not going to waste time with Visual Studio on something simple like this. So those of you who have not run or have not coded in Bing or with Bing Maps at all, this is the basic code you need to do Hello World. And I am the only one who can claim at this conference to do Hello World because I am mapping the world. Right? Okay, just to be clear, all the other ones are faking it out. So, super simple, and that one line of code that's different from what you have to do on the web and what you do in a Windows 8 application is this load module. And load module is actually how you load modules on the web, you know, the directions module and the venue maps module that I mentioned earlier. It's the same exact type of function, but now you have to do that for the map control as well. One line of code, you instantiate you load the module, or you load the control as a module. And, you know, super simple, you pass in your options. Credentials, very important. Bing Maps requires a credential, which means you sign up for an account and you get a key. There are various levels of key. There used to be like 12. Over the last few months, I whittled it down to 3. So now it's super simple to determine which kind of key you need. It's either trial, meaning you're just trying it out. You get basic, which means you want free, you want to use it for free, and you're willing to abide by some terms of use, or you want enterprise. You're an enterprise business, you need fully scalable systems with SLAs, and you're willing to pay for that. So those are the 3 key types that we have today. Super simple. And then, so that's important for you guys to get that key. If you go to bingmapsportal.com, that's where you get it. If you go to microsoft.com/maps, you'll get all this, and I have links for all this, so don't write it down. So going back to the code, after you pass in your options, the options will include things like the map style, the size of the map, the zoom level, all those options get passed in, and then boom, you load the map into your div, and suddenly you've got a running Hello World application. So super simple basic stuff just to get the map running. All of this code is available in the SDK, so you can literally copy and paste it into your application and you have it running. So you won't even have to copy it from my PowerPoint. We have a interactive SDK that's web-based today. We're today, let me switch apps there, switch machines. We built this application here. It's not in the store yet, but we are working to publish this. And so what this does is it gives you an application in Windows 8 that is interactive and allows you to do coding. So if let's see, if, you know, we can just zoom in here. Let's go to where we are. And if you want to see how to do anything, there's a show code button. And you just click that, and that'll stay on for any function that you want. So if we want to switch map styles, you know, show me how to do that. And you'll see up in the code, up in the upper right, that this is the code in order to do exactly what you're seeing on the screen. So we have a very similar instance of this on the web. We're now building an app for this, so you can take the app with you. Also, you know, anything you'd want here in terms of push pins, so everything that's in the SDK is in this interactive SDK. So you have all of this handy, and you can just copy code, paste it into your app, and off you go. There's also links to the exact web page in MSDN for the SDK. So if you get into something and you get kind of stuck, you can actually link off to MSDN, and the documentation is all there. It links right to the page that you're referencing. So let's close this. And we want to go back. So super simple to build JavaScript applications. And so I had the team build a Twitter application. It's funny how these things happen. I was actually in Korea when I requested this, and I said, hey, the build team said, hey, your deck is due today. And I'm like, well, I'm in Korea. I'm not even there. So I'm not ready. And then I emailed my dev team. I said, hey, I need some really cool apps. And they're like, well, we got this one that shows like maps on a, pins on a map. And I'm like, we need to go a little deeper. Like, so the thing that's really interesting is, Twitter has this open API. And so I challenged the team with building this. And in, it was 2 days, maybe less than a day even, I had a working Twitter Maps application. And this is not branded by Twitter. This is a Bing Maps application that hits the Twitter API. And so what I can do here, this will just load by default. This is going to pull all the tweets that are coming in real time, just map them out, and then I could just play through these if I want. And this will just kind of, play through all the different tweets. So super, super simple integration, but it's so powerful visually. If we want to check out all the tweets that are coming from build, in fact, I didn't get the latest version of the app. So my favorite part is because I'm not really responsible for what happens on Twitter. So you guys get to be entertained. That's awesome. So Twitter can be very entertaining. So let's take a look. How do we do that? Let's see. Okay, so. And this was all built using the JavaScript API and the REST interface for Twitter. And if you go into here, you'll see we're just going to instantiate the map. And just go right down in here, pass in our credentials. So these are the options I was talking about. We center the point on New York. And then, we're going to make a call to Twitter when I hit that button. And you'll see here. We're just calculating the bounds because you have to send some boundaries for the Twitter API. So now we're interacting with the Twitter API and the Bing Maps application, and it becomes very powerful, right? When you see Twitter and you're watching somebody's tweets, and there's these clients that you can like click on the tweet and you can see a little map, it gives you some context. But if you really are just interested in a specific area, having that map based or the map bounded information becomes very very interesting, and the developer that built this actually has updates, and now he's wanting to publish this as an app. So you may see this in the App Store sometime soon, because he's added some filtering for hashtags and things like that. So super cool stuff. Getting back to some of the code here. So you'll see here we're just passing in a request over to Twitter to get some JSON information. I'm going to try to focus on some of the maps aspects of this, since what we're really doing is, making a call out, sending a bounding box, and getting a bunch of tweets back that have latlongs. We're going to take those latlongs and pass them back into the map itself. So what you'll see in this code is there's a ton of code for Twitter, and there's probably 15 lines of code for maps. And my point is, it's super easy to do the mapping development, right? The ramp up for mapping in with Bing Maps is very low, so you don't have to learn everything like GISC kind of stuff that I've been studying for 12 years. We made it super simple for you to just focus on the things that you need to do. Like, I need an application that puts pins on a map. I need an application that does polygons on a map. The majority of your coding is going to be about the system that gets the data back, and mapping it out is super simple. So here. Set the map view. So we're going to take the information that we get back from Twitter, set the map view based on pins, put the pins onto the map. Anytime you click on a pin, we throw an event that's going to throw up a pop-up. Get down to that. Here. So when we touch the actual pin, it's going to show the info box and all the information that came back from Twitter and the JSON. There's a bunch of custom options that you can do for the info box, which is that little pop-up that comes up above the pin. You can customize that till you're blue in the face. There's so many options to do. We give you a default experience there, but you can, you know, do the offset. Do you want the pin to fly out to the left or to the right? Do you want it colored? Do you want actions inside? Do you want to, you know, close the? There, we actually got super deep on the info boxes. It was amazing, like how much time and effort we spend on, you know, making the info boxes customizable. And then you set the options, and then you push them down to the info box itself. You'll see here, this is actually pushing down into the DOM, the inner HTML, and getting that all set up onto the map. And this is all going to be Twitter information here. So here's Birdseye. I was looking for tweets, actually, in Birdseye, and I couldn't find any, so I was kind of bummed about that. Nobody was tweeting where I was looking for Birdseye. Like, I wanted a really cool Birdseye photo, you know, and some tweets around it, but nobody was tweeting at the time. I was going to actually zoom down on this area. You might ask, why didn't I, you know, show this building? And I could do it right now, but it's because all of you have tweeted something, and I don't know what you're tweeting right now, and you want to show up on screen. But you would, because those tweets are coming in real time. So let's see. Should we challenge it? I don't mind challenging it. Let's do it. Let's see who's tweeted. We'll go over here. So we are here. And chill. We'll see what tweets come back from Twitter. Nobody? Let's clear this. Try it again. There's a Birdseye. Nobody's at the Space Needle yet. So let me get over here. I really want some tweets. Go. There we go. This could be scary. She's got a Mac. Yeah. So anyway, we get what we get back from Twitter and just render it onto the map. So there's that. Okay. Don't want to get too far off track because I am running late. Okay. So this is the code walkthrough for some of the important pieces for adding pins. That was the most prevalent part of that demonstration. The one thing that I am told to remind everybody is to not use eval. So if you're a JavaScript developer, if you use eval, it will work, but it will be rejected from the Windows Store when you submit your application. So they're encouraging everybody to use the winjs.xhr function instead. So there's a session on Windows security. If you missed it, because it was, I think it was yesterday, all these sessions are recorded, so you can go back and watch it another time. But I would encourage any of you who are building services with sensitive data, you certainly want to watch that session about Windows security of your applications. Okay, so let's talk about native and managed and native code. Very similar amount features between the two. Not everything is there though, so it'll be important for you to understand the differences. It's really deep in terms of what the differences are. The basic things that you would expect are there. You want to put pins, you want to do lines, you want to do polygons, layers for like adding tile layers on top of the maps, for like heat maps and things like that. Those are all supported. The events, obviously, for throwing events, that's supported in the Ajax control, but I didn't mention it because I needed to throw something in this slide to show it off. So the events, you know, on touch, all these events are captured, and you can, you know, tie firing events to that. The modules, so for modules, there's only one module for this, and that's Venue Maps. So you can load the Venue Maps module in a Windows 8 app. And then also integration of the web services fully included. So geocoding, routing, search, and the spatial data service that I mentioned before, you can integrate those all into your applications. So for Hello World, this is all the XAML you need to run everything, to run the Hello World, I'm sorry, not everything. So to run the Hello World, you basically load all the default libraries, you add the control, and you pass in, you know, I need to pass in a lat long just to show something, and that's it. So this is the entire code base for a XAML-based application that will then run a map in your application. So let's go to the demo on this. I challenged the team with building a polygon-based application that showed some a picture inside the polygon, so using some of the image brush background function. I think it's this one. So what you see here is Seattle, and if I touch Washington, we can load the image back in there, and then I can play a movie, and I can do whatever, and we can have the movie scale. So if we really want to watch the Nature Channel, we can. There's music here, but I turned it off because I didn't want to put everybody to sleep. But this is a really sweet story that you can watch. And if you can imagine, we can go state to state and try different videos and do different images and things like that. So this is just really to highlight some of the power of, you know, polygonal drawings on the maps, interacting with those polygons. If I touch anywhere on the map, it's not going to load this image or the video. It's going to do nothing. So I can do polygon-sensitive touching within the map and fire events based on that. It allows me to get more interactive with my maps and spatial information. So, and how do we do this? This is a ton of polygon information. So what you'll see here, I'll walk through this, but you may laugh at this. Once we load the control here and we set the center point, we're going to pass in a ton of information to create the polygon. Now, I wouldn't recommend doing this in XAML unless you want it to be absolutely static. Most of these are going to come from dynamic databases, so you can do this in the code behinds as well. So when you're talking about rendering GIS information and making an interactive spatial application, you really want this to come out of a database in case the vertices change, things like that, so you don't have to go back and hard code all the lat longs. But we did that because this is demoware. And a fairly high fidelity polygon getting rendered almost immediately. We've got renderings. So the performance, to be clear, the performance of the native control was a huge factor for us and something we were highly focused on because we knew when we start working in especially native code, we've got a lot more power, right? We're not limited by DOM and browser parsers and things. We're now into the core OS and we can tie into, you know, more of the .NET framework aspects and libraries there and the control that we have over CPU consumption and memory allocation. So what that allows us to do is pass more performance down to the machine. And so as we're rendering, if you want to render something like Alaska, like has anyone seen the high fidelity vertices that create the state of Alaska? It's insane. One of the guys from, I don't know if you guys know, Ed Katabal over in SQL Server, he's PM over there for spatial. He's been in the spatial industry over 20 years. He and I, that's kind of our test to see how well performance is going, is how fast we can render Alaska. Because you've got all the Aleutian Islands and you've got all these inlets and lakes and things like that. That's always our North Star or our white whale to finally conquer and render that in a sub-second routine. But it's extremely difficult. Anyway, you can do some of this with this native control and the ability to render polygons. You'll see here we're just passing in a set of lat longs that create the polygon shape. One for the state border, and then one for the actual the background, the image that we're rendering, so it clips it properly. And then we're just going to fill it with the image using the fill tool. And then for the movie itself, you just pass in the media element, and it'll start playing the movie. So fairly straightforward, I think. Here's the code walkthrough. Again, this is just a snippet. I I want to figure out how I can get this code to you guys. This is all documented in the SDK, but this specific code I'd love to have available. So I'll figure out how we're going to do that, maybe post it on the Bing Maps blog or something like that. But there's no reason we wouldn't share this code out with the folks in the audience or anybody who wants it. But the basic functions here are adding shape layers and using the polygon function. Before we move on to this, I have one more thing that I wanted to show. And this is also something we're working on that we want to get out. And so in line with the Ajax Interactive SDK, we created a native control interactive SDK. Apparently I'm not supposed to call it native because, you know, I don't know what to call it anymore. It's like native and managed all at once. And we have an internal name that I can't tell you. If you click on Maps and you can go through the different libraries, so we can, you know, focus on landmarks here. I can go through if I just want to do a polyline. I click that and it, that was polygon, sorry. Let's do polyline. And it shows you how to render this in the native control. And the code base is different, right? We're talking about JavaScript versus manager native code. And if you wanted to see the code here, you could just go down here, copy the code, paste it into your application. Also, direct links to the documentation online. So if you have, if you want to see that specific function, class, event, whatever it is that you're looking at, you can dive into it. So again, looking at tile layers, all of this is all built in. So that's good. So we're going to work on publishing this as well. Just kind of set a fire under some of the guys on the team and say, hey, you know, there's no reason we shouldn't be publishing this as an app in the store. So we're working on that. So I would expect to see that coming out soon. Okay. We're on time. Okay. So let's talk about application protocol handling. I mentioned that Bing Maps is its own protocol for handling switches to it and passing data to it that can then get rendered. So if you're not an application developer and everything I've shown you so far terrifies you, you can still use Maps in your application just by passing in a string, a parameterized string through link, and we'll switch you to the Map app, and you can still do a lot of these cool things that we're talking about in the developer aspects of the controls for Maps. You can set the center point, and there's a whole document on all of the things that's at the end of this presentation. If you get it, you get the link to it. But basic things, if you want to switch to the Map app and set the center point, geocode location, search on the map, set the map style and zoom level, all that's built in to this parameterization of the protocol. So here's a super simple, I want to search for coffee in Seattle. You set up a link that goes that calls the Bing Maps protocol. Hit the question mark. The query is coffee if I want to do a local search query. And the location is Seattle, which is the where parameter. And this will search for coffee in Seattle in the Bing Maps app. So when you click, if you have an application, you say, hey, check it out. You know, coffee spots in Seattle. You can click that. You know, users will click that link, and they will switch apps. And we will automatically do that search inside the app. So deep linking into the Map app with some certain functions built in. And this is actually built in to the travel app today. So when you want to, if you want to see this in action, you can go to the travel app here. We could do search for hotels. If any of you in the audience know me, I grew up in San Diego, so I'm always looking to go home. Weather's a little bit better than here. And so we can actually go into a hotel. These beautiful pictures of the hotel, and you'll see the map here. And if we click that map, it switches us over to the Map app and deep links us right into the area of interest. And it keeps me in the app here. You'll see here I've got this. Oh, this actually passes into the we made some changes on this last minute, so this passes me over to the Map app completely. Okay. So that's super simple. One thing I do want to mention that is not available in other map applications on other platforms is the ability to pass in a collection. And a collection is effectively your points, so places that you care about. It's great that we can do a search for coffee in Seattle. Yeah, maybe you need that. But what about the places that you care about? Or your users, if you're building applications, you want places that are specific to your users, and you're still not at that point where you want to commit to building a fully based, you know, map-based application and including, you know, all these controls and services, and you just want to switch apps, you can pass in a parameterization of collections or personal places that allows the user to see all their places on the map. So you could dynamically create this URL string that is, you know, my house, my work, you know, my ex-girlfriend's house, stay away, all these types of places onto a map that then renders into the map application. So this is unique to Bing Maps on Windows 8. So you might want to check that out. Okay, fun topic. I've got about 25 minutes left. I'm going to spend some time talking about licensing because that's always fun. I spend about 20% of my week with our attorney, which I love doing because I don't love it. I don't. So, what are the terms of use for Bing Maps on Windows 8? It basically is free. It's free. Okay? Let's just get that out. Bing Maps on Windows 8 is free. As follows. You get an allotment of up to 50,000 billable transactions as defined in the SDK within 24-hour period. Okay, let's throw that out. So within a 24-hour period, you can use as many, or up to 50,000 geocodes and routing calls and, you know, map loads and all this stuff. One of the transactions in the SDK is a session. Okay, if you use a session and get a session key, you can use unlimited transactions during that session, and that includes all of the transactions. Okay. So what that means is, as your user, let's say I'm a user, I load up a map, you as a developer will call and get a session key. Fire that session key in and start making requests with the session key. The session key will track that all the use, the geocoding, the routing, all the map tiles, switching to aerial, bird's eye, all that, as one transaction. Be very clear. And you get up to 50,000 during a 24-hour period. So it's pretty exciting stuff. If you are evaluating for commercial, non-commercial, or government, you get up to 10,000 of the same exact transactions I just defined in a 30-day period. Okay? If you're using spatial data service, you get up to 5 batch geocoding files upload. With 50 records each. That's really an evaluation tool. And that's within a 24-hour period. The one thing that I will say you cannot do without a license. So you can do anything, pretty much anything with Bing Maps if you have a license. This is just the free stuff. This is anything, and this covers 99% of most developers, quite frankly, for Windows 8. But when we start talking about enterprise applications, I want to build a Windows 8 application that nobody ever sees. It hits my private network. I've got authentication that's only for my users. That requires a license. Or if you're going to exceed any of the limitations imposed that you see here, that will require a license, which is most enterprise customers. If there's somebody in the audience from Starbucks, you want to build a Starbucks Windows 8 application, it's highly likely you're not going to fit in this category and you're going to require a license. But if you're a developer and you're up and coming and you want to build this new exciting app, you're going to fall within these limitations. And then once you start making money, we're going to take some of it. I'm just kidding. So that's the idea behind it is, we want people to build mapping applications on Windows 8. We're excited about Windows 8. We're part of the ecosystem. We've always been kind of this outlier, and we're, you know, oh, you want maps? Go to the maps team. We don't really know. We're not part of, you know, the native SDK or anything like that. But now that we are shipping with Windows, we feel part of the family. In fact, they even gave me a Windows lanyard, even though I'm not on the Windows team. That's fine. So if you have questions, email the Maplick alias, which is map licensing, not licking. And we'll get your, I'm on that alias, so I get those. I won't be the one responding, but I certainly get all those inquiries, and I can address the developer questions, things like that. So here are some resources. Again, these are all clickable after the fact, so you don't have to write all these down. You guys can download this deck freely available. Also, my email's on there in case anybody wants to email me, chris.pendleton@microsoft.com. Also, these are resources for the show. Not really sure why it's on there, but okay. Okay, so I got about 20 minutes. I did pretty good for questions. Yes?
What's the difference between the evaluation license and the basic license, since they're both free?
It's a good question. So in when we talk about eval, I'll classify it as trial. So trial is basically a limited period. In terms of licensing, you do get a reduced set of transaction queries, because the idea behind a trial key is that you're really just trying it out and you're going to dispose of the key eventually. A basic key or basic license means you're building an app, you're launching an app, and you want to be covered under the free terms of use. So trial is very temporary, think of it that way, whereas basic is more long-term.
But there are no more features available in the evaluation?
There are no more features available, no. The feature set is completely the same. That's right. Yes, sir. There's not.
Is there any plan for that?
There is a plan for that. Absolutely. That is definitely something that we get asked about a lot. Question was around autocomplete. We get asked about that a lot, and we are absolutely planning to build that. I cannot disclose that. Yes. It does not. Great question. Windows 8 does not mean Windows Phone 8. Windows Phone is using Nokia as their map provider for their SDK. And so these terms are completely separate from that. Yeah. Good question. Yes?
Two questions. Your polyline and a polygon, can they be set to draw grid circle arcs rather than rough lines?
The complex shape module was supposed to include that, and I don't think it did. So the final build of the complex, or the I think we call it advanced shapes module, does not include the arcs. But that is on my wish list. Today it does not. I don't believe it does. For the map control, is that what you're asking me?
It requires that you specify the architecture.
That is a great question for the guys that will be here afterwards. So come see us afterwards. That's a little too deep for a program manager. Sorry. Yes?
Is there APIs for highlighting whole states instead of having to actually polyline the whole state?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, the data is not exposed through an API. You would have to get that data sourced from somewhere else. So you can't just say, light up Texas or something like that. You have to get the shape of Texas, pass in the vertices, and then use the polyline feature. Those shapes are readily available online. If you just do a search, there's free downloads of those shapes. But natively in the SDKs, we don't have that yet. Yep. Yes? Mm-hmm. So question, how often do we update the maps? The maps are sourced by a number of third-party providers, Navtech being the most prevalent, which is owned by Nokia. And we update every month. So we get updates. We actually update every week, depending on the facet that we're talking about. The data that we get from Navtech typically comes quarterly, but we're moving to monthly. And we've been doing monthly releases since we've been on the Windows 8 train. So we're getting more updates more frequently. There is a tool that you can provide feedback, and we'll send Navtech out to collect the information about your street. I had bought a brand new house up here in Bothell, and I was on the Bing Maps team, and my house wasn't showing up for a good 3 months. So it does take some time to collect that data, but there are ways in which you could provide feedback, and somebody will go out and track down that information and add it to our repository. Yeah. Yes?
Is there a way to determine from your API the Bing zoom level from real world measurements, like, say, the width of your viewport?
It's not built in, but what you can do is get the zoom level, and we have a document that that will depict what the meter's resolution is, and you can convert that to using the geometry that you need for your application. That's in the SDK. Actually, I think we did that as a tech article. So if you look in the MSDN articles about Bing Maps, one of them is about the tile pyramid itself. Because Bing Maps is just a giant pyramid, where zoom level 1 is 4 tiles and exponentially grows down to 21. There's meters of resolution tied to each tile level. You can get that online. Yes? Street side photography. There is no current supported method for accessing our street side photography. We have there's a beta Silverlight extended modes control that's out there, but it's not supported, and it is based on, I think, Silverlight 4, like that. So right now we don't have one. Yeah. Good question. Yes?
You mentioned a Silverlight.
There is a WPF control. Thanks for asking. One of the dev leads sitting right here in the front, Keith Knantz, his birthday. Happy birthday, Keith. we took it as a 5% project. Keith, Hemant here, and our doc writer last year, and we took about 6 months, 5% of our time, and we built the WPF control. So there is a WPF control available. It's version 1.0. We're very proud of it. And if you have questions, he's the guy that built it. Any other questions? Any elephants in the room you should address? I like the hard questions. Yeah. I'm sorry, I can't hear. That didn't make. I didn't hear it that time either.
What are the data formats
that are supported? For supporting overlays, you mean? Yeah, good question. So GRSS is the one we usually support. And then we haven't added any other supported types. GRSS is the one that we support. And I think we haven't even added to the V7 control. So
the external
module? Okay. So we do have some support there. But it's GRSS. That's the one. We had KML support for a while, and we just haven't added that to the new versions of the controls, but definitely something we want to do and support the standards. Yeah. Good question. Anything else? Yes?
Does Bing Maps support traffic?
It does. There is a traffic feed on Bing Maps. It was kind of in the background of my demo, but yeah, traffic is there, so you can do overlays. In the spatial data service, we have a couple public data sources. So if you want to get incidents, it shows you all the incidents within, on a certain stretch of road. So traffic incidents and like games. So if there's a Mariners game, it will obviously have an effect on traffic. Those are available as a public data source in the spatial data service. So you can get traffic. Yes?
Can you talk about weather support?
Weather support. We have no plans for weather support. It gets asked every now and then, but it's not it's not on our feature as a maps team. There is a weather team inside of Bing. There's a weather app, I know that. And they use our maps. But we have not, our team in maps has not done anything around APIs for weather. Yeah. And we don't plan to. But they might. I don't know. Anything else? Anybody have any other questions? Okay, again, we're going to be wandering around out in the lobby. If you guys do have questions, feel free to stop us. Also, fill out the comment cards. They're beating me down to get you guys to fill those out. So fill those out, please. The eval cards about the session and how wonderful it was. Thanks for your time. I know this is a busy conference and you have a lot of sessions to choose from, so thanks for coming to mine. I appreciate it. Thank you.